My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
The whole point is that we overreact in between games. The whole point is that you live and die with every pitch. So the reality is, a lot of the things that I hear on a day-to-day basis, even a lot of our just in-the-moment takes, are absolutely that we're talking about playoff baseball the way we talk about the NFL. And the thing that sometimes sucks the air out of talking about baseball in the regular season is other people don't pay as much attention as you do to the Guardians. I think you guys know I watch way too much Guardians baseball. I think you know JP watches way too much Guardians baseball. But to be able to talk about it day in, day out, you have to watch at least every other game. All right? At least two or three games a week. And this just makes it easier. And so it's funny. That might sound like I'm going to take a shot at people. No, I think the best part about playoff baseball is that this becomes our focus and we're all watching the same game. So, like, we've done stuff like put out the Kwan video and asked, was this a catch? And even Guardians fans were saying, nah, not a catch. That's the best part about this. But I think people have taken that to such a degree, though. And I'm not trying to misparaphrase what the Morning Boys said. But I mean, I'm just going to say, in talking about the lead up to Game 5, I heard something that I think it's just sports talk cynicism about losing in general. And listen, I get it. Nobody likes to lose. And when you lose, we expect there to be consequences. The thing that I think is frustrating with me about the Guardians, or frustrating for me as a Guardians fan, is not every loss is an indictment on the Dolans, the front office, Stephen Vogt, or baseball in Cleveland, and a sign that we're never going to win a damn game again. And that's what it felt like after Game 3. It felt like, it felt like half of anybody in this town turned into Randy Quaid in Major League 2. They're going to blow it. You know, they're not, this is what they do. And so I was surprised to hear, like, I'll be honest with you guys, there are a couple talking points that I think make a lot of sense here on where we head now and the importance of the Game 5 win. I think we've kind of all blown past the importance of getting the first elimination game win since 1997. That was the longest streak in baseball, 11 elimination games in a row that the Guardians had lost up until last night. And I don't think, especially a young team, I don't think we can quantify what that means to a team, to an organization. And you never quite know. You know, the gross generalization about this is, oh, the Tigers are a team of destiny. The Tigers are the toughest. This is their mission. And listen, respectfully, they're the hottest team in baseball. They've earned it. They've earned the love and the accolades. And I said it with Jay Bush. I'll tell you this, guys. I love this series. I'm right where Stephen Vogt is. Like, I've got some ideas, I've got some thoughts on this series, but the number one thought is I've earned an incredible amount of respect for AJ Hinch, an incredible amount of respect for the Detroit Tigers, an incredible amount of respect for Tigers fans. And so, whether it's on TikTok, at Nick Wilson says on TikTok, or on Twitter, or on Instagram or Facebook, or, you know, with Tigers fans calling in here, I don't really take it personally when they try and talk mush, because, guys, this is so much damn fun. So I was a little bit annoyed. This was not the bulk of the conversation. But in kind of hearing one of the conversations with the Morning Boys, or at least a point made that I heard, which is, losing game five would basically negate the importance of game four. It kind of made me a little angry. Because there's a part of it of, what, we can't even have a nice thing? Like, that was, to me, that's one of the greatest stories of a playoff game. Because the two teams were so damn competitive. It was a seesaw. It was you getting on the board, they getting on the board. You getting on the board, they getting on the board. It was a game of catch-all. At one point, they took the lead. And then you took it back with David Fry. And then you had the insurance run. But wait, there's more. Because then they got on the board in the ninth inning on Class A. So you needed it. There were so many things in that game that made it the perfect game. And to win that perfect game. So I understand that we always do, all right, what's the correlation between these two things? Guys, Game 4 was special. Game 4 was an organization, and I think what Game 4 can be is the moment that we look back is the moment where the Guardians really woke up. Because the offense really started to do some stuff in that game. Well, and I'll be honest with you, the home runs were great. Because home runs equal wins in this time of year. It does. That's the easiest way to win. If you do win game five and you keep pace with, and you want to keep pace with the New York Yankees, you're not going to be able to outslug them, but you are going to need to be able to slug enough, and you're going to need your rotation or your pitching staff to bring them back down to earth for four out of the seven games. So to see power and to see it in a giant ass park, by the way, gave me a bit of hope there. All right, maybe the offense is cooking with fire. The most impressive part of that game, guys, it was the suicide squeeze. It was a guy who is arguably your fourth best hitter this year in David Fry. And the September splits were nice, but David Fry, the first two, three games of this series, had a lot of really bad at-bats, noticeably bad at-bats, and more importantly, situationally bad at-bats. So to have your DH, maybe not the biggest speedster in the world, with all due respect, to have him lay down the perfect sacrifice, which was just enough, move the Detroit pitcher just enough. And honestly, Detroit played that ball perfectly. Jake Rogers was in a perfect position to make that tag. The throw was maybe a millisecond late. The pitcher got it out as quickly as it fielded it cleanly. It's like that play. But you converted, you played small ball when you had to. You played big ball when you had to with the home runs. You took those opportunities. And then when you needed to, you added that extra run. And by the way, it made a difference because you needed it. So I'll be honest with you. Tomorrow's going to tell whether Game 4 was the start of something. Whether Game 4 was proof that the offense is ramping up, right? Because there is an opportunity. Scooble can be got. He's a very good pitcher, and the pitch tunneling thing makes it very hard to get him. But with every great pitcher, there is an approach or a style that helps you get that win. But just even if it doesn't, somebody's going to lose a damn series. And I'm not trying to be the guy to move goalposts. Because going into this, I kind of thought to myself, you know what? You're the better team. You need to get this win. Just making it the ALCS, and all of a sudden, all the pressure's gone in terms of all of a sudden you'll be the team playing with house money. That's the beauty about a potential Yankee series. All the pressure's on New York. And by the way, it's pressure playing in front of your home crowd with expectations, with the idea of this is your year. So winning this game will free you even more, even though there's just natural pressure that happens in any given moment in any given series. At the same point,
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I've not seen enough from this Guardians team in this series to say Again, I'm not trying to write off game five, because now I'm starting to know how I'm sounding here. In the season, the success, regardless, it's so much more of a success if you get to the ALCS. And honestly, the clock restarts there, because I think it gives your offense even more time to continue to prove they're hot. But look at the way that this thing, you jumped on the Tigers right out of the gate. You had the most deflating loss that you could possibly have in game two, because you played a perfect, damn near perfect game two outside of some bad situational hitting. Then you turn around, and it was Detroit won a game by a lot of little mistakes here, one or two from Vogt, a lot from the batters. So to then come back in a game where the Tigers were putting a lot of effort into getting that win, because they didn't want to come back to Cleveland, even though it meant Scooble was going to go, because if they could get the win yesterday, that meant they could line Scooble up for game one of the ALCS. How can you look at this and say, well, if the Guardians lose on Saturday, the season's a failure? No, it sucks. I want this party to go on. I think you have a chance to the Yankees. I'm a little scared, because at any point they can erase a lead with a three-run home run, and you got to work just a little bit harder to do that. And if the bats go cold again, yep, it's going to. But this idea that to me, it's, I'm going to go back to the term. It's sports talk cynicism. It is, everything is bottom lined. Everything is reduced. And I'll tell you right now, I will enjoy this thing a hell of a lot more if you extend it into the ALCS. I'll enjoy it more. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to have to call a doctor, because it's going to last for four more hours. If you beat the Yankees to go to the World Series and you win the World Series, you might see a fat, naked man just running through the streets of Cleveland. It ain't happening. I'm not doing that to my wife and children. And frankly, I'm not doing that to you. My point is, every step we go from here only adds to the impressiveness of this season. But this series has been so impressive with the way the Guardians have had it, and the way the Guardians have fought back. Like, there's a part of me that says, hey, I think you need to win this one, because the path forward looks doable. And anytime we're saying it's anyone's game, that there is no, yeah, the Yankees are going to be the favorite because of the payroll, and because it's New York, and because it's the Yankees, and because Bob Costas gets real good and randy every time he gets to say the historical success of the New York Yankees. That's the number one reason. I don't want to, if I hear Bob Costas on a call, I'm going to go ahead and lull myself to sleep here. But yes, it feels like this year is in front of us. So if they lose, it's going to feel like you missed an opportunity. Maybe the best opportunity since, I don't know, 2016, but that doesn't mean this series is a failure. That doesn't mean this season is a failure. And I think that, to me, is where I think sometimes we've got to stop. And as much as I love this job and I love sports talk, sometimes you can just say, hey, one or two breaks and this thing goes otherwise. But it's not a failure. The Guardians have put up more fight in this series than I think they did in the Yankee series 2 years ago. I think the Guardians have shown more fight in each one of these games than I think they did in the last three games, where they lost, maybe not that game seven, but in certain parts of the collapse against the Cubs. They put up more of a fight than they did consistently than the collapse against the Red Sox in 07. Against teams, by the way, big budget teams for the 90s, where they were the favorite in every series, they put up more fight. So if you just run out of runway, I'm not going to ding you. This has been an incredibly, it's been an incredible performance by both the Tigers and Guardians. That doesn't make either team the loser, other than somebody's got to win tomorrow and somebody's got to lose it. And anything otherwise is just smarmy sports talk, faux journalistic crap. 216-474-0092. Would losing on Saturday mean the Guardians' season is a failure? If you came into this series thinking you got to get to the ALCS, or it's ALCS or bust, has this series done anything to change it for you? That, and there's one more guy we got to get going for the Gardos, and I'm kind of sick of him not going. That's next on 92.3 The Fan. Like, how can you hate this team? How can you get mad at this team? Like, I just, it's so funny. I don't know, given that it is the second time through this lineup, I don't know that Matthew Boyd is going to have the same kind of bandwidth, the same kind of leash on him from Stephen Vogt that he did have in game two. That's an I don't know. It could end up happening. He gives you 4-5 solid innings. There's a really good chance you win that game. That being said, I think the idea of maybe Gavin Williams as a bulk kind of middleman, I think makes a lot of sense in this game because Gavin's stuff is pretty overpowering. If the whole plan, because we haven't seen Gavin, we haven't seen him yet. This would be a hell of a surprise if maybe Matthew Boyd goes 2 or 3 innings and you can drop Gavin Williams in there for 3 or 4 innings in the middle of the game. That could be a hell of a way of getting kind of your way back. Now, at the same point, by the way, could also flip it on its ear if you don't. Matthew Boyd, if he pitches well enough, could make you not have to go there and you could use Gavin early in the Yankee series if you win. But I'm just going to digress here. That being said, man, I want it for that guy. That's awesome. That's really, really cool. And to hear, I love the word gratitude. I do. Because there's two words I just think in general, life philosophy, that societally we don't practice enough. I don't think we practice empathy. Certainly, you want to look at the political division in this country? No empathy. Everybody wants people to see what they need, what they believe, their life, how they survive, but they don't want to look at somebody else's. They can't relate because they don't want to, because they don't feel related to. And the other one is just gratitude. I was watching, I don't know if you guys have kept up with Michael J. Fox's journey with Parkinson's. There's a great video, and he was, you know, on full display for all the different movements and tics that you have. And the interviewer's like, how, you're talking about your charmed life here that you've had. And he's like, one, I've had a charmed life as a Hollywood star and a TV star. And two, it's gratitude. And so I just love that word. I think that word is such a great word to talk about. Whenever you hit hard times, whenever you think this is rock bottom, whenever you think, you can always find gratitude. And so I'll be honest with you, man. I was already rooting for him because he's a Guardians pitcher. I was already rooting for him because he's kind of one of the keys to getting to the ALCS. I'm rooting for him about 10% more now. I didn't think I could find it, but that was an awesome moment there in availability today after Matthew Boyd was announced as a starter for Game 5. Now, I think the offense could very well be on their way to finding that groove. I do. And I'm pretty excited to see in Game 5, especially if you can hop in on Skubal early. You never really got close to getting him in Game 2. He was that good. And I do think 108 game, the shadows are probably going to help him a little bit, but theoretically that should help Matthew Boyd as well. But I think what's going to be a really interesting test of A.J. Hinch as a manager is do you have a quick hook on Skubal if he gives up 2 or 3 runs? Last night, you saw Tanner Bibee battled, but there came a point where you needed to get out of an inning, and Stephen Vogt didn't hesitate to pull him. Left him out there one more inning than I think people were expecting, but then had that quick hook, I believe, in the 4th inning. I think it's going to be really interesting to see if you can hit him early, whether it's Kwan, Hosey, maybe you get a 2-run home run. It'll be really interesting to see if Hinch keeps him in the game. There's one more thing. Most of the offense looks like they're gearing up, as we've talked about. Josh Naylor isn't. And there's one thing riding on this game. Listen, if I'm going to call Hosey out for game ahead of game 4, and certainly for the at-bats in crunch time in game 3, if I'm going to do that, and if I'm going to call out Kwan kind of going into the series, or you know, any of these guys, there's one guy that has not shown up. And as a matter of fact, has looked downright embarrassing at points, and that's Josh Naylor. And I don't think it's hyperbolic to say, I think Josh Naylor's future with the Cleveland Guardians might in some ways be resting on this game tomorrow. because there has been the at-bats, like the hits that he's gotten in this series have been garbage time hits. Like when he has been up, when it matters, when the game is on the line, when there's a chance to crack open the game, he's been skying the ball to you know, medium to shallow outfield. And the at-bats are atrocious. He's the only guy left. Well, okay. Bo, his brother, has not had consistently good at-bats either. It wouldn't surprise me if Austin Hedges was on the bump, or on the bump, on behind the plate for game five, simply because if Bo doesn't give you any advantage at bat, well, then why the hell do you have him out there? Because even though Bo's made strides defensively, Hedges is still better. But I digress. Yeah, Bo, okay. Jimenez is stuck in some seventh circle of hell. Sure. Naylor's the one that counts. And I think Josh, given that he's going into, what, the last year here of his contract, there's already kind of, you know, ample thought on maybe it's his last couple bits here. I think you factor into the way he has approached these at-bats here. You can't count on a guy who can only play 4 months at a time and disappears in October, which if he doesn't come up big tomorrow, or he doesn't come up if they extend it into October, or, you know, into the Yankee series, if he doesn't do it, that'd be the second straight postseason he doesn't do it. Naylor needs to give you something when it matters, whether it's in this game because it's the next opportunity and could be the last one, the Yankee series or beyond. 216-474-0092. When we talk about the importance of this game for, does losing tomorrow, if they did, would that negate, would that make you considering the Guardian season a failure? Daryl Ryder next on 92.3 The Fan.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.